happening in my life this week. And I keep thinking about it, and I keep not necessarily asking, but thinking, Lord, how much longer? And he keeps saying, that's what I hear, keep hearing, later. And I keep thinking, well, how much later? I mean, next weekend, we'll be scheduled to be in Tennessee for the weekend for intervention work there, and then the following week we'll be in North Carolina if the schedule holds out. So I won't be here the next two weekends if schedules hold up. And following that, March, I'm not sure, we'll probably have to make another trip to Tennessee for more intervention work. And then on to April, we have two ordinations that will be coming up in April. One is in Kansas and one will be in Tennessee, so they're not really far apart, only 1,000 miles, so it's not too bad. So this is the kind of thing that I keep facing, and I'm like, Lord, isn't it ever going to quit? And I hear that word later, and I keep thinking, all right, how much later? Well, I'm aware of the fact that where I am in my age, that later doesn't mean a whole lot, because later could be any moment that it'll stop. And I was at a funeral yesterday. I don't know how many of you were aware of this, but it doesn't matter. A 50-year-old lady that I've known for years, was very close to, and she was buried yesterday. So these things were not planned. They just came in the midst of all the other things that we had going on this week, but it's what we do. And my funeral will be the same, and yours will be too. When we close our eyes to sleep, plans will be made, and that's how we do it. So we don't schedule these things, we just do them, as I've heard say. Well, enough of that, just to let you know a little bit about that. But I will be pulling my thoughts this morning from the book of Philippians, and I'm going to share this, how I got there. For those of you that have sometimes asked me, how do you know when to speak on a subject, how do you know it's of God or not, so on? And these are really good questions, and I've tried to be wise and help people, because I've been doing it for, I think, 54 years, so, and I still don't totally know how, and I don't necessarily have the peace that passes all understanding that we talk about in doing that. But I'll just share with you that the busyness of the week was, and I want to complain, but I'm trying not to. But the busyness kept me, when you have a lot of activity going on, it's hard to concentrate. And you face this when you do devotions, when you preach. Those of you that, and not all of you have preached, and all of you have done devotionals, you've done them. And I know you struggle with that thought, is this really right? Well, I'll just share with you my own experience. I've been working all week long trying to come up with something that I felt, but I had a funeral sermon to get ready for as well, and so those two they kept bouncing at each other. And they're trying to, like, which one, how do I, well, anyhow, I finally got the funeral sermon together, and I presented it yesterday, and I guess it went okay. It sounded like it to other people, so. And so then I get home, and I still have not settled in my mind what to do today. And so I finally thought, well, I ended up in Titus 2 about doctrine, and I'm like, but I wasn't satisfied. I just did not feel good about it. And so finally I just gave it up because I kept falling asleep. It wasn't working. And I said, okay, it's enough of this. I think I see somebody identifying with this. And so I finally just, you got to get your rest. So I go to bed. I wake up this morning and I find exactly what I need. And I was at total peace about it. So that's where I go. If I'm not at peace, I don't do it. I try not to do it. But I keep searching, and I went to bed last night, and I said, Lord, it's I don't like what I'm finding here. This does not fit. This is it's too much directive. I want something that's more that fits unilateral, that helps, that might present itself to all of us. And this morning he gave me that, and I was at peace about it. So the title of this is Contemporary Conspiracy Theories. Now that'll shock you. I wasn't expecting that at all. And so I'm picking another person's brain, because I did not think of that at all when I was struggling with a title or with a scripture. And I was like, now where do you go to present something of that nature of conspiracy or contemporary conspiracy versus theory? Well, I'm pulling my thoughts out of Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and chapter 4. And we'll try to move through this at this time. I'm going to read not all of these verses, so relax. We're not just going to read. I'm going to give some thoughts about it as well. And I'm not presenting this to irrationalize or to dig in your conscience. I'm not doing that. I'm presenting this, and I feel I'm safe in saying that I want to present this as information. Because I believe we are in a period in society and in church, in our spiritual journeys, that we're faced with some of the things that we should take a better look at. And of course, now we're faced with war, a very unlikely type of thing that we desire. And now it doesn't look good for us as far as sitting here in America wondering what's next. It doesn't. And for years and years, we've heard the prophecy of the millennial time, Armageddon, World War III, those kind of things. And I can tell you that those thoughts do cross our minds. I don't know about you, but Russia has been in our minds, in the news, as far back as I can remember, and has always been out there. But what they're doing now causes me to wonder, what is this president trying to do? That's not my subject. Sorry. That was a bunny trail. I need to get back to... Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And if you have a King James Bible, you'll see what I'm reading. If you have another Bible, it'll probably say different words. But this is Paul and Timothy writing to the Philippian people and saying things to them, the Philippian church. They declare themselves to be servants of Jesus Christ, and then now I will read from this. To all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, this is language that they used in their day. We don't do that now. We have different words. Let me move on. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Always in every prayer of mine, for you always make a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll come back to that. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. That's just, okay, let one more verse. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and unto the glory and praise of God. Now, these are very key verses here, that you would approve things that are excellent, well, don't forget that, that you can be sincere without offense, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, these are words I want you to try to hang on to. I'm going to go back up to the, Paul says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. Now, be reminded of the fact that Paul was in prison, I think, at this time, and was thinking about the things and praying for them. And I find myself in our morning prayer that I always think of my church family, always. Every morning I think of my church family. And guess what? That's you. And I want you to know that for years that has been my routine. It's not a habit. It's something I do because I love you guys. And I consider you. And I think that's kind of what Paul felt. It was like he was in a prison. Now, he was not in prison like I was. He couldn't leave at the end of the day, and he didn't have an office. He had shackles and chains. That was his office. But he still preached and talked about the love of God and prayed for the Philippi church. It's a great thing. And I find myself doing this too. And then, of course, verse 6 is a key verse that we will want to remember, because confident in his mind was that the thing that God had begun in him, God was going to finish that. See, I mentioned earlier that I keep thinking, God, how much later? When is this finished? When are you going to take me off of the off of this roller coaster of working? But I love to work for God. I do, and I've done it so long that I know if I ever quit, I'll probably find myself in total depression, because that's what I've done. Although I didn't go to school to do crisis intervention, but for some reason, we're in a day when intervention is necessary in our churches today, and you younger guys better get ready, because one of these days, I'm not going to be around. So Harley, Dale, and Curtis, y'all better put your harness on, because it's coming. It's not going to change, because the devil is real. He's very real, and he's out to perform his work, as we taught, as we learned in Sunday school, the warfare that we're faced with or daily. I'll tell you, I saw his program this week in a very real way, acting out and trying to disturb and trying to derail and trying to make our lives miserable. But God came through and protected us and gave us peace and joy and all of that we experienced this week. And even as we stood at the coffin of a very good friend, I said things that I don't know if it makes sense to you or not, but I said, this lady is beautiful in her coffin. How often do you think of that? I did. She was gorgeous. Her body was prepared for this time. And the undertaker said, Sam, she came like that. I hope that I can produce that when I'm in the coffin. But I don't know. I may be ugly as straw. I don't know. But it's okay. I don't care. I won't care. And they had her fixed in a way that they had to do it. When you walked up to the coffin, I know I keep saying this, and I'm sorry, but it was just... Her head was turned. I've never seen that. You know, usually when you're in the coffin, you're rigid and you're straight and you're just laying there. Not her. Her head was turned. And when you walked up, she was looking at you and smiling. And I'm like, this is unreal. That's not contemporary conspiracy, folks. That's truth. Let me go to chapter 4. You got to move on. We're not going to get anywhere. Chapter 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again rejoice. Wow. Don't forget that. You rejoice in God. It's hard to to do it when you're going through some of the things you've been going through. I know, all of us. Some of you have been through some hurt and disappointment and depression and emotional upheaval. But it says, come on, rejoice. It's okay. All right, let's move on. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, key word. Moderation, discipline, control. There's some more words there, but I won't stop there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you make your requests be made known unto God. We're good at that, aren't we? God, please, please heal. And then they get healed, but they're gone. That's the first words I heard out of this lady's husband when he called me. He said, Sam, I had just, my wife and I had just prayed for her to be healed. And the phone rings. I answer. It's her husband. He says, Sam. And he started crying. He said, she passed. She was healed. Okay. Requests. We had just made a request. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ Jesus. Finally, key word, finally, brethren. Oh, now the next ones I want you to catch real good. Finally, this is the key where we're going. Things I want you to, whatsoever, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtue. This is what he says. I want you guys to think about that. Sometimes it's kind of hard to do that. Sometimes it's difficult to get your, maybe you're not like me. You probably aren't. But sometimes I have to struggle to get my mind curved around the right stuff. Now, I looked up the word virtue because I thought, well, what does that word mean? How does that? The word virtue has the idea, the Greek idea came out manliness or man, and I'm like, virtue? Man. Where do you go with that? You're awfully quiet here for some reason. Well, you should be. I'm talking. It's the idea that in these things that I just quoted, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure and lovely and good. Now, if there's any strength in any of that, then I better think about it. Manliness. Ladies, you can be a little manly in this. Not much, a little. Yeah, it's okay. Strength. It's not the idea of being a man. It's the idea of strength. The Bible declares man is the strong one and lady is the weak. Easy now. I didn't mean you were weak. You're not a weakling. You're the lesser of the vessels, of course. Well, I keep on getting my old dug real deep here. But it's the idea of strength, the strong. You know, we think we're the strong ones. All right, let me go on. Conspiracy. What does it mean? You know, we're living, now we're faced with all the different things around us. Anyhow, I would caution us in some of the areas of discussion. Because it gets heated quick. You know, should I get vaccinated? Should I not? Oh, should never do that. That's terrible. Good night, such dumb. That stuff will kill you. Terrible things. How many of us have been vaccinated for the flu and for pneumonia and for measles and for shingles and didn't even think about it? A conspiracy involves two or more persons in collusion to accomplish an act that would not work in the open or that would bring about a negative reaction. Participants of a conspiracy may collude for any number of reasons: to enrich the participants, to seize a political advantage, to gain power and authority, or to retaliate against an individual or a group of individuals. There are many stories in history of people conspiring together. For example, Rebekah and Jacob conspired against Isaac. Story is very common. We know the story. Joseph's brothers conspired to slay him. Again, we know that. We've read it. We've studied it. We've preached it. The Jewish rulers conspired to kill Paul, and so on. A conspiracy theory is an explanation of an event or situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful actors. The conspiracy is a theory because it has not yet been verified or uncovered, except for a few people supposedly possessing secret knowledge. Conspiracy theories are plentiful. Some of the more recent ones include the presidential election was stolen. Ooh, I don't want to get into politics, but that is true. That computer chips are placed in the COVID vaccine. All right. And that the September 11th terrorist attack was staged by the United States government. Others are that scientists are pulling the wool over eyes. That the earth is flat. Joke. That made James smile. That the white streaks left by the jets in the sky are chemical trails. That the electronic chips are embedded in your vehicle's license plate. I'm not getting no new license plate. I'll show them. Really? So the government can keep track of the citizens, and the astronauts never landed on the moon. There's no shortage of theories. Way back many, many days ago when they said they landed on the moon. Armstrong, was it Armstrong? And I was, I said, I don't believe that no more, nothing. I said it across the pulpit. And there is a certain individual who every time he sees me, he was there that Sunday, and he didn't live there. He was visiting, and he will never let me live that down. He to this day, I saw him just a couple weeks ago in Florida, and he said, Sam, I still remember you said you do not believe they landed on the moon. And I said, yeah, I know. Guess what? They've landed on it a bunch of times since then. That's all right. People embrace conspiracy theories for several reasons. Conspiracy theories appeal to our mistrust of political figures and the elite in society. Knowledge of a conspiracy gives people a feeling of superiority. I know something you don't know. I have inside information. Conspirators like the idea that they are critical thinkers and not as gullible as the rest of us. Then there are those who enjoy promoting conspiracy because of the debate that they're likely to generate. Persons who entertain conspiracy ideas are also more likely to embrace alternative health practices and other ideas about religion. Supernatural powers, various political ideologies, along with other fringe ideas. So in Philippians 4, Paul gives us some help to us how to think about conspiracy theories. In verse 8, Paul lists 8 things that we're to think about. The first two are similar. We are to think about true and honest things. Are conspiracy theories true and honest things? Are conspiracy theories true and honest? No, they are only theories. Their validity is unknown. Some are so bizarre that the false is evident to anyone who can use logic. Others may not be so clear. I'm going to stop there. It's an article that was written in the Anabaptist magazine that I get. And it's a lot longer than that, but it's enough for you. If you can divulge that, you do great. Now, I want to close with a disclaimer. I'm not here to say you should or should not. I'm not saying any of that. But I am saying careful. Careful. I realize that everyone, I think freedom is the key. Freedom to do or not to do is the key. Let's not argue about it. We don't know. A chip on my license plate, I know good and well I don't have a chip on my license plates because they weren't out there. I had them on before this virus came along, and so they didn't put a chip on that. Oh, well, they may have. No, they didn't. So it's a freedom that we should possess in America as Americans and as Christians. And if you want to get a flu vaccine, that shouldn't be any of my business. It shouldn't matter. If you want to get a shingles vaccine, that should be up to you or any other. That's your business. It's not mine. I shouldn't be arguing about it. I think the relationship that we could possess or can possess with each other as we get into discussions that are debatable, then when we really don't know, that's the question. So I would encourage us, you practice, your decision is acceptable and honorable, and it's okay. But it doesn't mean that I would do that, or I would think that, or you would do what I do. The practice of Christian virtue has to do with relationship and getting along, making it happen. The dynamics that we speak about in Philippians are dynamics of correct thinking, honesty, true. Is it right? Does it enhance the relationship with my friends, my brothers and sisters? Does it enhance at home? Does it enhance my relationship with God? Those are things we should be thinking about rather than I'm right and you're wrong and doesn't matter and you don't need to do that. It's scary. No, don't go there. Let's pray. God, we're glad this morning that you are present with us, and thank you for helping us. The Scripture teaches us to be honest, true, good, and to get along, and to correct our relationships when it needs corrected, and to do the right things. Jesus, thank you for being Jesus to us, for our Savior. Thank you for being who you are. I will recognize you this morning as the Christ, the Son of God. Recognize you as the one that is a Redeemer, the Healer, the Great One. You're the Lord. You're the star to us. You are all, everything. And we're saying thank you for that. Thank you for this church, for these people. Would you care for us and meet our needs? Bless those that are sick and are not with us, those that are traveling, those that are away from here for whatever reason, wherever they're going. Keep them in your care today. Meet their needs and protect them from anything that's harmful. And whatever is need, that you will take care of their needs. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I didn't follow protocol. I guess we need a song.